You're listening to The Record on KUOW 94.9 Seattle News and Information. I'm Bill Radke. Seattle wants to become the first city in the country to allow Uber and Lyft drivers to unionize. Uber and Lyft don't like the idea. Some drivers who don't want to unionize are suing the city of Seattle. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suing Seattle, too. What does all of this mean for you as a passenger and as someone who cares how businesses and employees are treated? Well, here to help us answer that is Felix Salmon, who's a financial journalist and a senior editor at the pop culture site Fusion. Good to talk with you again, Felix. Welcome.
Yeah.
Now I hear you, Felix. Good. So, first of all, Felix, how could a union change the way that Uber and Lyft do business here?
Well, it would force Uber to actually sit down and talk in one way or another to the people who are providing the service. You know, right now, Uber effectively just dictates the terms upon which under which people drive. And if you, it's a like it or lump it deal, right? That you can either drive for Uber, in which case you take what they give you, or you don't drive for Uber. And if there was a union, then Uber would have to sit down with that union and talk about things and say, well, what do you want? And would have to listen and would have to sort of make decisions as to whether or not they wanted to respond and how they wanted to respond and to what degree they wanted to do things nationally or just in Seattle. And so it would be a very, very different way for Uber to act than it has done until now.
You make Uber sound like quite the high-handed company in the way they deal with their employees.
Well, yes. And they, you know, they were famously high. They have been famously high-handed for a very long time. In fact, they don't even consider the drivers to be employees. This is a key part of their business, like how they see themselves is just as an intermediary, putting together passengers and drivers. And the drivers don't work, aren't employees. The passengers aren't employees. They just kind of use this platform to find each other. There are definitely people out there who consider this to be a little bit disingenuous.
Isn't that just how the modern market works? If you can just get these parties together and you have drivers willing to drive for X amount of money, then what's the problem?
Well, the problem is that the drivers have no say in how they're treated. They can't, you know, ask for better working conditions, better wages, you know, insurance for when they're not carrying a passenger, or any number of other things which might not even cost Uber a lot of money, but which might make Uber, you know, the drivers' lives easier. The point is that Uber doesn't even want to listen to the drivers in that way. They have no interlocutor who can represent all of the drivers, and so they just make the decisions themselves in the best interests of Uber, the company. And if the drivers don't like it, they can just lump it.
And passengers would notice a yes on unionization with higher fares, or I suppose Uber or Lyft just leaving the market?
Well, Uber has threatened to leave the market if the drivers unionized in Seattle. It is not an idle threat. They threatened to leave Austin, Texas, if various laws were passed there, and the laws were passed, and they did leave. So probably the biggest effect that Uber passengers in Seattle might see is if this goes through, then Uber might actually end up just turning off its entire service in the city of Seattle.
We've been talking about Uber and Lyft. Do you make much of a distinction between them? Or are they just as one pretty much just like the other to you?
In Austin, they were very similar. You know, they both said they would leave if the regulations passed, and they both did leave when the regulations passed. Lyft has much better public relations. It's not famous for being evil in the way that Uber is. And a lot of people who hate a lot of the things that Uber stands for use Lyft instead, because it basically does exactly the same job without a bunch of the sort of really sort of douchey Silicon Valley connotations that Uber has. But yeah, ultimately, the service they provide is pretty fungible. And as we've seen in Austin, even if both of them leave, it's pretty likely that other services will spring up to fill that vacuum.
I've been talking with Felix Salmon, senior editor at Fusion and a financial journalist. And Felix, we've been talking about drivers. We're actually going to meet a couple of them now. Will you stay and listen to their stories and react?
I would love to.
Very good, because with me here in the studio are Deborah Jeffs-Grad and Takela Gobena. Deborah is a part-time Uber driver and is against unionization. Takela drove Uber full-time for 3.5 years and now works for the Teamsters Union. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Takela, why did you get into driving?
When I started driving for Uber back 2013, I left airport job to drive for Uber. Basically, Uber had been doing advertising at the time, promising you will make 25 and above an hour. At the time, I used to make $8 something minimum wage at Sidag Airport. So I left that job to, you know, make a better wage with Uber.
Mm-hmm. You left your job driving taxi at the airport?
At airport, I used to do what they call a wheelchair service, a wheelchair agent.
Okay, and how did that new wage actually work out for you at Uber?
Initially, back in 2013 and beginning of 2014, it was okay. At least that we were able to make not 25, not above, but we were able to make 15, 17, sometimes less. The fare used to be much better than what it is right now. As day goes forward, the wage, the treatment, everything start declining, going down. Right now, it's at worst condition.
So, as a driver and a Teamster, why is this union necessary? How do you think those, you're not driving now, how do you think drivers' lives would change with unionization?
Well, I stopped driving about 2 months ago. I've been involved a lot with organizing drivers over the last 2 years and a half. I involved in community. This industry, majority of this industry is immigrant community, low wage workers. I involved with them on daily basis. We eat the same at the same store. We shop from the same store. I see their daily life, basically their activity on daily life. Most of them live on this work. They live. They manage their life, income. Almost everything of related to the income based on this business.
This is a full-time job for
many drivers. Exactly. Full-time job is the job that helps them bring bread and milk to table at home. And I still continue to get involved to improve this working condition for my community. It's not just about me. It's about the community.
Deborah, why did you get into driving?
I'm a retired registered nurse and psychiatric social worker. And I took up a new hobby, which is weaving, and I also like to travel. And so on a fixed income, Uber provided the extra money that I needed to take travel and to support my hobby, my habit, actually.
We've just been hearing some pretty negative things about Uber. As an Uber driver, how do you react to that?
I respectfully disagree with the man in New York. He said some pretty harsh things, and that has not been my experience with Uber at all. He said that they never talk to drivers. Well, Uber has a peer advisory program, and the peer advisor drivers have actually influenced Uber a great deal in terms of the platform and the support and how they deal with customer complaints or rider complaints. Uber has had neighborhood community meetings, and I think that they have improved their support staff in terms of when there's a problem or when we write in. And so I think Uber does listen to drivers, at least in Seattle.
Felix Salmon, are you working off an old script? Is there an indication that Uber is improving its driver experience?
Well, they've done a number of things, including setting up a kind of quasi-union, which they're trying to use to prevent a full-on, sort of slightly more oppositional union. They have had a lot of very bad press recently, especially as regards the careers of women at the headquarters and various other scandals. And so they're making an effort to try and become a little bit less evil and a little bit more friendly and make it seem as though they're listening more. But ultimately, they have made it absolutely clear that their long-term vision is basically a vision without paying any drivers at all. They're trying to just position themselves for a driverless car future, and that they're just going to navigate this world of drivers for as long as they need to until they can get rid of them altogether.
Well, in the meantime, Deborah is one of those drivers. And Deborah, you're not interested in a union. Why is that?
I'm not interested in a union because the way that it's working or the way that they've set it up is really quite not a standard union practice. I've been a union member before. So the city, you know, is dictating all the rules. The union's behind it. The union donates to the city council hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, for their campaigns. I've never been in a situation where a city has dictated to independent contractors that they need to entertain the union.
How would it affect your life if Uber went to unionization?
Well, let's start before they go to unionization. Just the fact that they've set it, the rules up the way that they've set it up. The one that I'm the most concerned about is the privacy. So that the deadline is passed and a judge made an injunction that said that Uber did not have to turn over to the city of Seattle my private information. The private information would go to the city of Seattle. Seattle would turn it over to the Teamsters, which means that for 90 days, not like one day all in the same place a vote, but for 90 days, they can come to my house, they can stop me in the parking lot, I can say no, they can come back again, I can say no, they come back again. They have 90 days. And I wonder how many people will just feel that they need to sign the card to get rid of the harasser and to feel safe again in your own house. And I would be very angry if they came to my door and disrupted what was going on with my family.
And I understand you think you would lose your flexibility, the flexibility you enjoy under a unionization scenario.
I'm absolutely sure that I would. The stated goal of the Teamsters Union is to improve the lives of taxi cab drivers. What's the best way to do that? Get rid of the competition. And so if you think about it, they also have tried in the past to limit the amount of drivers on the platform at any given time. They think there are too many part-time drivers on the platform. I'm a part-time driver. Most of the Uber drivers are part-time drivers. And that means that if they're trying to make minimum, well, I'm going to back up for a second. The city and the union have both stated that the first thing that they're going to negotiate, if the union comes in, is a minimum hour criteria. So a minimum hour. That means that I immediately have to leave the platform or work these minimum hours, whatever they are. That means I don't have the say anymore about where I work, when I work. If I'm tired, I don't work.
Takella, what about the loss of flexibility for drivers like Deborah?
I think a lot of drivers know this. Speaking honestly here, I myself have been a full-time student over the last 3 years and a half that I've been with Uber. I have a family, I have daughters, I have a time to spend with him. Full-time student. I also work for Uber and Lyft at the same time. I've been doing internship every year while I'm in school. So this all based on flexibility that we have with Uber. And almost every driver agree with that flexibility. Union support, union agree with that flexibility. There is not a single point over the last 3 years that I have been involved with the drivers, with the union and with other community members, where union or drivers or community members say they want to limit that flexibility. The idea that the union limit flexibility is a big wrong.
Felix Salmon, senior editor at Fusion Financial Journalist, you're hearing two different versions of life under a union with two different Seattle drivers. Any comment on this?
It's striking to me that the anti-union side of the debate is really is like a driver who sees other drivers as the competition. And the pro-union side of the debate, more classically, you know, is a driver who sees other drivers as all, you know, the group of contractors who are being used by Uber, and then Uber is the other side of the table. So my sympathies would probably be more with the union on this one. I feel like the the massive drivers in Seattle have more in common with each other than they are sort of competing with each other. And that if it's true that the hourly wage, the amount that you get paid every hour to drive on the platform has been going down in recent years, then it is surely in the driver's interest collectively to try and stop that decline.
And I see Deborah raising her hand. You can't wait to react to that.
Thank you. I think the vocabulary is a problem here. I do not see that other drivers are competition. There's a difference between being a taxi cab driver and being a driver for a company. Then you are a worker. And as an entity, you have a lot in common with your other taxi cab drivers. I'm a small business owner. I fill out a Schedule C. I pay self-employment taxes. I'm not a worker. And so I think that it's difficult for me to get my head around a city and a union who's trying to make me a worker that somehow needs to be rescued or taken care of when I'm a small business owner.
And a satisfied one, Felix.
And that's awesome. And, you know, I have a certain amount of sympathy with this point of view. And obviously, when you have a workforce as diverse as the number of Uber drivers in Seattle, you're going to get a range of views there. And that range of views should be represented by the union if unionization does happen. That I agree that the union should not represent purely the people who are using Uber as a sort of effectively a full-time job, but should definitely represent the interests of all of the drivers, including the ones who might only drive for a few hours a week.
Then I would say that that means that every driver on the platform should be able to vote, and that's not the way that the rules are set up.
To Callum?
Yeah, speaking of that, I think it's very clear there we can see on the initiative that the minimum requirement for the drivers to vote to qualify for voting is having provided 52 rides per 3 years. I mean, for 3 months, it's over 90 days.
52 rides over 90 days.
Over 90 days, which means less than one ride per day. Drivers out in this city, most of drivers, at least five and more rides per day, even part-time drivers.
Tekela, do you feel you're taking a risk here by possibly pushing Uber out of the city of Seattle?
So by any means, me, myself, and other drivers, we are not pushing Uber or Lyft or whoever out of business or out of city. What we are asking is very three simple things. We are asking Uber, Lyft, a voice. We are asking them a dignity, we are asking them a respect and better working condition. This is a simple thing we are asking. But unfortunately, what Uber is saying is, no, we're not listening to you. And even right now, what's happening is challenging the city initiative. They are actually exposing Seattleans, people of Seattle, for extra cost because the public tax is going to defend that initiative in the court, and it's going to put a cost on the public again. So we're just asking simple question. We're working for you. We're spending 80 hours on the street, doing the best we can. Just give us a voice, dignity, respect, and better work condition.
Final question, Felix Salmon at Fusion. What are the odds that Uber actually pulls out of Seattle?
I would have said they were low until I saw what happened in Austin. And now I think they're quite high if the unionization happens, which, you know, is obviously a big if and is right now in the hands of the courts. Uber does follow through on its threats. This is unlikely to be a bluff.
That's the big if. It is in the courts, and we're going to keep watching it. Felix Salmon, financial journalist, senior editor at the site Fusion. Always good to talk with you, Felix. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
And Deborah Jeffs Grad, a part-time Uber driver and Lyft as well, right, Deborah?
Yes.
You work for both?
Yes.
Okay.
I do not work for both.
Thank you. You work for yourself.
I have contracts independently with both platforms.
Thank you. An important point. Uber and Lyft. And Tekela Gobena is now not driving, but working with the Teamsters on this unionization issue. I want to thank both of you for coming in live and talking with our expert and talking with me and talking with our listeners about how this unionization vote might affect you. That's our time for now. Thanks to you both.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Record on KUOW 94.9 Seattle News and Information. Thank you for tuning in. Please join us right here again tomorrow.